All right. Good evening, everyone. I hope everyone had a blessed Resurrection Sunday on this past day and are currently having a blessed evening as we are yet again. And as always, we'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. Today is April 4th, 2024 and week 270. If you're new around here, welcome to Join the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. And if you've been with us for a while, you know the drill. We like to say welcome back and thank you guys so much for tuning in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. And so far we have three early comments. Kim says, greetings in the name of Jesus to all. David says, praise the Lord, everyone. Hope everyone is having a great day in the Lord. So thankful for another day that he has blessed me with. Casey says, praise the Lord, brothers and everyone. Hopefully everyone is having a blessed day in Christ. God bless. Keep the faith. Amen to all of that. Praise the Lord to you three. Thank you for being among the early comments. So as you can see from the title, it said, he is God alone. There is none other. We just got another comment. I apologize if I mispronounced your name. Is it Jamel or Jamel? They said, good evening, everyone. Ready to receive the word. And we are ready to give it. So now, as you can see from the title, it says, he is God alone. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. If we can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it and find a way to apply the things learned to our daily lives.
Thank you, Melvin. Let us get into a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before you first offering thankfulness, thanksgiving, Lord, to you, Lord. We thank you for everything that you did for us, Lord. How you continue to bless us, how you continue to watch over us, how you continue to keep us, Lord. How you've blessed us with opportunities and taken us to places we never thought we would have ever been in. And Lord, we say thank you first and foremost. So Lord, we also ask that you would continue to keep us in our right minds, Lord. Continue to open our eyes, open our ears, open our understanding, Lord, to things that we never have seen before, Lord. We ask that you would continue to help us to be a light to someone around us, Lord. Help someone to look at us and see what salvation is really all about. Lord, we pray for the Bible study tonight that your word would go forth, that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. Lord, we're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, trial, and tribulation. Lord, we're praying all these blessings in your tremendous name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you for being with us. We always appreciate it. We always enjoy your presence because God saw fit for us to gather together. And so we do not take these things for granted. Again, God bless each of you for tuning in with us. If this is your first time, we appreciate you. I believe that was Jamel that you mentioned there.
Yes.
God bless each of you, though, for all of you who have tuned in with us. And we pray that it is not your last time being with us because one time is just not enough. I love to eat, and you know, eating one time a day, I might need to do that sometimes, but it's just not, it just doesn't seem to be enough. So the word of God, it is our spiritual food, and we need his word every day. We need his word every week. We need his word. God knows we need it every hour. So we're going to get into some things tonight that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I pray that it would help you as well. I was thinking of some things on this past week, and the topic, the title is He's God Alone. And so I want to read a few scriptures here before we get into it. Let's actually do that, Melvin. Let's pick up Isaiah 45 and verse 5. Isaiah 45 and 5.
All righty. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, thou that hast not known me.
Now, this is, in Deuteronomy, it tells us, and in fact, the Pharisees, I believe it was, they asked Jesus, or it might have been a lawyer, asked Jesus, what was the greatest commandment? And Jesus began to tell them what the greatest commandment is. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, or however all of those things turned out. Love God. He's the one and only God. Love him with everything that you have. That's the greatest commandment, Jesus told us. And so here we find God mentioned some of those same things. He says, I am the Lord and there is none else. You know, I'm thankful to God today that he is the only God. Now, there are a lot of people that believe there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 gods. There's a God for the weather. There's a God for the rain. There's a God for the grass. There's a God for the sun. I don't know how you could keep up with all of those different gods. I thank God there's only one. And so the Lord says, I am the Lord. There's not another God. There is none else. There is no God beside me. There is no God beside our God. I'm thankful to know that today. But we're going to go a little further than this because I really want to make sure that we understand this, because in life, we tend to get in situations that we feel God is not able to get us out of. We feel certain situations only the doctor can get us out. Certain situations only the police can resolve it. Look, I thank God for doctors and police officers. God knows I appreciate all of you. Every position in this world, I appreciate it. We need it. But we must remember how powerful our God is. Look, he's God alone. He's God all by himself. From the beginning, the Bible tells us he stood in the beginning and he declared what the end would be like. You want to talk about a fortune teller? It's God. Not the people. I passed by a building today. They were talking about fortune telling and palm reading. If you want to know how life is going to end up, you just need to go to God. You don't have to go to some building and pay someone to know this. He's God all by himself. So he said, there is none beside me. I want to get to some things, Mel. Let's keep reading here.
All right. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me.
Mm-hmm.
I am the Lord. And there is none else.
You know, sometimes, Melvin, people have told me, they said, oh, you're repeating yourself. But what I've learned from God is a lot of times we must repeat ourselves to really emphasize a point. God here says it again. Somebody said for the people in the back. We come up with a lot of stuff, man. We come up with some stuff. God says it again. He says there is none else. God knows there's confusion about who he is. So he's trying to really make us to understand there's not another God. And the one true God, he has all power. There is no limitation in him. Whatever your need is at this current hour, look, our God is able. He's able. He is not limited. Sometimes we put God in a box. Sometimes we limit God. Not that he's limited, but we just feel he can't do certain things. So he's trying to make this point known to us. He said, there's not another God. There's no one else who can save us. There's no one else, nothing else that can deliver us. He's God alone. He's God all by himself. But I want to bring this somewhere, but we're not going to go there just yet. Pick up verse 7, Mel.
I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil.
Mm-hmm.
I, the Lord, do all these things.
See, he's got to give us his resume. When people are applying for a job or trying to get into a certain organization or whatever the case may be, we have to tell people some things that we have did, what qualifies us for the position that we're seeking. See, God, he's telling us why he's God. He said, I'm the one that formed the light. This is God's business. I form the light. I form. He said, I create darkness. I make peace. He told us in one place, if a man's ways please God, he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. See, if you would just line up to what God said, a lot of problems we're having is because we are not following God wholeheartedly like we should be. And as a result, God allows some problems to take place in our lives. And we're stuck wondering, God, why is this happening to me? But the word of the Lord said, thy iniquities, it's your iniquities that have separated us from God. It is our transgressions, our sins, our disobedience to his word that's bringing some problem. Now look, the truth is we're always going to have some type of problems in life. But I tell you one thing, I've had so far less problems since I truly began to live for God. I've had far less problems. I still have problems now. Look, keep praying for me. I need it. There's always a problem. But I'm not bringing problems upon myself the way I used to. I'm not bringing those problems. So he says he makes peace. He creates evil. You know, God created Satan, the evil one. God created him. He knew what the devil was going to do. See, we've got to get a better understanding of this thing called life and understand how God is in control of it all. Right now, we're having all types of wars, all types of fights going on in the Middle East, fights over land. And there are many of us that probably are not very aware of what's going on, but it is affecting us because the United States is a part of these issues. It's going to affect, as it already is, our economy. And you know what? The truth is, regardless of who ends up in office, regardless of who the mayor is, regardless of what politicians, whether it's Republican, Democratic, at the end of the day, look, God's still in control. He's still God alone. Regardless of if there's a famine that comes, regardless of if another disease runs rampant in this world, as COVID-19 did, at the end of the day, it's still God. See, it was God that kept us here. I believe my wife was saying that to me the other day. God kept us even through COVID. So many people died. I've heard so many arguments about, well, they didn't die from COVID. They died from this. They died. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Somebody died. The family members of those people who passed, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter to them what they died from. What matters is somebody lost a loved one. But God still kept you and I, those that are under the sound of my voice. God kept you. He protected you. Even in an hour where there seemed to be no peace, everyone's walking around in masks. And even to this day, people are still doing it. I'm still seeing people walk around in masks. But God is bringing peace in our lives, even when there's no peace. Even when the world is surrounded by turmoil, this This is the type of God that we serve. He's God all by himself. It's not the mask that protects us. Now, look, put your mask on now. I'm not telling you don't put it on. But I'm saying if God still wants you to get whatever the disease is, you'll still get it. There are plenty of people that still got COVID, even with a mask. Plenty of people that still got it, even with the vaccine. Do these things now. Protect yourself. But you still must realize, look, it's God that's the ultimate protection. See, it doesn't benefit us to put our mask on and won't put God on. It doesn't benefit us to get in our car and put our seatbelt on. But we don't have the covering of God over our lives, the covering of the blood of Jesus over our lives. We need God. So put your seatbelt on now. Look, I put my seatbelt on every time I get in the car. Put your seatbelt on. But put your trust in God. Put your faith in him. He's the one that we need. So he said, I'm the one that forms the light. I form the darkness, peace, evil. God's saying I'm responsible for it all. Read for us, Melvin.
Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it.
I think God is well qualified for his position. I don't have to question him because he has did so much that we don't even understand. The way he has created this world so perfectly. Someone was telling me about an eclipse that's about to happen. See, look at the incredible phenomenons that God is responsible for. He's responsible for death and life. He's responsible for everything we could imagine. He's God by himself. So now, where does that leave us? Because that's really where I want to get to tonight. See, we understand God. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He hears all things. Look, for those that have been praying and saying, oh, you know, my prayers have not been answered yet. He hears it all. He hears it all. He's watching to see, will you keep the faith? Will you keep praying? Will you keep seeking him? So he's God, and we understand that. I believe we understand that. But again, where does that leave us? What position are we in as a result of God being this God that created everything for himself? The Bible said, for his own pleasure, he counsels with himself. He's not asking our permission to do things. He's doing it regardless of how we feel. So this is God now. But now I want to bring us into the picture. So something I was thinking about the other day. Knowing that God can do all of these things, knowing that he's the reason the sun shines. He's the reason the moon gives the sun's light. He's the reason it rains. He's the one that created the flowers, the trees, the birds, the dogs. Knowing that he did all this, as I began to look at myself, the question that I'm asking is, what does God need me for? See, you ought to think about that. What does God need you for? What does he need you for? You know, at jobs, we work for someone. We apply to work there and we get the job. And sometimes because we've been working there for a while, we've ranked up in the job. We've gotten higher positions and we've progressed at the job. At a certain point, we start to feel they kind of need me around here. See, if they didn't have me, who would do the job that I'm doing? But every time a person gets fired, a person quits, a person gets sick and dies, whatever the case is, the job replaces them. The job replaces us, I should say. And so the reality is the job does not need us. The job can function without us. I'm saying that because with God being who he is, and he said he's God alone, he does not need Minister Tony Banks. He does not need Melvin. He does not need anyone under the sound of my voice. He doesn't need us. See, I want to make sure we realize he tells us not to be puffed up and high-minded. He tells us to be humble. And if we would humble ourselves, he would exalt us. He would elevate us. If we would have this mind, let this mind, the Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He took on the form of a servant. So the reality is God does not need us. You know, Job got in trouble with God and God began to talk to him. And he began to ask Job, look, Job, since you're doing all of this talking, because Job had got frustrated, the man got sick, the man lost family, he lost his children, the man lost animals, he lost all types of things. He lost his wealth, his prosperity, he lost a lot. And what really set him over edge was he began to lose his health. Boils began to break out from the crown of the man's head to the sole of his feet. So much so, his wife didn't even want to keep looking at him. She said, look, curse God and die. You're looking pretty rough right now. You are suffering so much. Just curse God and leave this world. And so Job became frustrated. And he began to get a little beside himself, if you will. And God called him. He said, Job, where were you? God began to question him. Where were you when I was laying the foundations of the world? Where were you at? Where were you at? See, God was trying to show Job and put Job into his place because we began to feel that God needs us. But the word of the Lord questions every one of us and says, where were you at? When God created this world for himself, where were you? When he created the heavens and the earth, when he created the mountains, when he created these islands that we love to travel and vacation to, where were you when God did this? When he created the angels and Satan began to fight and war in heaven, where were you at? See, we're serving a God who does not need us to do anything. He doesn't need me to preach. God doesn't need me to preach his word. He knows his word way better than I ever will know his word. So as I look at the fact that he's God all by himself, and I realize my position in this thing and how he does not need me, then I come to the realization he still wants me. See, this is an incredible story. If you could just understand the story of God, this is an incredible love story. We love, some people love to read love books and watch love stories on TV, Cinderella and all of these things. We love the ending, the happy ending. You know, this is a love story between a God who does not need us and a people that he still desires to be with. A people that serve him no benefit We can't give him anything. He has it already. You know, you can't, someone that's truly rich, they've got it all. Someone that's truly rich, billionaires, there's nothing you can really give them that they don't already have. See, God has it all. I can't give God back something because he's already got it. I can't give God a car. I can't give him money. He owns it. If I have it, that's because he put it in my, excuse me. If I have it, it's because he put it in my possession. So I'm reminded of the words in the book of Psalm. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Let's go and read that, Mel. Let's go and read that really quickly. In the book of Psalm, chapter 8. See how much time we'll spend here, because it is one more thing I really want to get to tonight by the grace of God. Psalm chapter 8. Let's start at verse 1. Yeah, let's pick it up at verse 1.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, mm-hmm. that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger.
Mm-hmm.
When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained.
See, now we get into the point David is making here. He said, when I begin to consider all that you've did, when I begin to just look at the work of your finger, not what I've accomplished. See, we can do nothing without him. It is in him that we breathe, we move, and have our being. It's all in him. He said, when I begin to consider these things, pick us up in verse 4, Melvin.
What is man that thou art mindful of him?
My God. He said, what am I that you need me? What am I that you think about me? Why do you consider me? Why are you so good to me, God? When you did everything yourself, I didn't have nothing to do with any of this. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why do you keep me in mind? Why do you have a desire to keep me, to help me to live, to order my steps? Why are you putting so much time and effort into me? You know, God gave us so many wonderful things in this world. I mentioned to you the lands, the islands that we love to travel and see. We love to see the places that God created. There's some beautiful places in this world. We love to see the mountains, the natural landforms. We love to see a lot of things. We love to go to the zoo and see the animals that God created. And it's so spectacular how all of these animals are so very different. Look at how much detail. Just look at how much God has did for mankind, for humanity. He created those animals for us. From the very beginning, he gave Adam and Eve dominion over those animals. He created all of this stuff for us, not for him. God doesn't need an animal. He doesn't get bored. He's not like us. Look, we say, oh, I'm bored. So we've got to watch TV. We've got to watch a movie. God doesn't have to watch a movie. He doesn't have to go to the zoo to see a rhinoceros. He doesn't need to see the hippo. This is God we're talking about. He created these things. The creator is not so in awe of things as the one who did not create them. is. Look, when we see these, when these new iPhones and iPads and all this new technology comes out, the VRs and all this stuff, those of us who did not create these things, we're mind blown when we see it. We're mind blown. But the one that created it, look, they're already past that. They're already working on something greater. See, God, he's already beyond these things. And we're mesmerized by it. He's God all by himself. And so when David looked at this, he said, what is man that you keep thinking about him? We're so low on the totem pole, we cannot do anything for ourselves. We're just like a newborn baby. We want to put everything in our mouths that shouldn't be. If the parent wasn't there protecting this child would have been gone. That's how we are even as adults. It is God who's keeping us here. Because if it were not, we would have already all killed ourselves. We're still trying to do it to this day. We're running around harming one another. And God is still trying to teach us, love one another as I've loved you. So David said, what is man that you're so thoughtful of him? We don't do anything special for you, God, because we can't do anything that you already don't have access to. There's nothing you can give him that he already doesn't have. He said, look, Jesus said, look, if we don't want to obey him, look, he can make the rocks do it. See, we're talking about a God who can replace us. So as I began to look at this, I say, what is man? And I realize God does not need me. But the beautiful thing is, he still wants me around. And he wants me genuinely. You know, that's really the best thing about this situation. Many times when you have something, if people find a person that has money, all of a sudden, they're your friends now. The person that has money, everybody wants to be their friend. Because people are looking for what they can get out of that person. But God, he realizes we have nothing of our own. And he still wants to be with us. This is a beautiful story. This is the best book ever written. And so David said, what is man? What is he? What's so special about him or her that you think about them? That you've designed this entire plan? You know, Melvin, you started the Bible study out about mentioning Resurrection Sunday. God, the Bible said Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. What that means is God had already designed Jesus to come down here and die. From the very beginning, he knew Jesus would have to come and die for you and I. And furthermore, the Bible declares, while we were yet sinners, doing nothing for God, nothing but disobeying him, nothing but ignoring him, nothing but running from him. Somebody told me recently they've been avoiding being in Bible studies. They said for no reason, they've just been avoiding it. And you know, I remember doing the same things. I would avoid God. And yet every day he's stretching out his hands to me. And here I am, turning the other way, running. And he's still offering an opportunity to someone to make up their mind to serve him. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He doesn't need us, but he still keeps us around. He doesn't need a single thing, because at the end of the day, we can't offer him anything. He tells us to give us, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, this is your reasonable service. He said, this is the least you could do. You can't really pay him back. You know what? Let's go and get something. Let's pick up the book of Luke, chapter 7, verse. We can read. We got a little time. We can read down Luke 7, 37. See, I want to show you. See, follow along in this. I want you to see this woman who realized God doesn't need her. That's what she realized. See, it's something about when you come to this realization, you ought to run harder for God. You ought to be more passionate about this. When you realize, man, God doesn't need to keep me around. I don't have to wake up tomorrow. For what? What am I offering him? What does he need me here for? Whatever it is that I can do for him, God can certainly use somebody else. He can use someone, just like the job can, God can use someone else. But even them, God doesn't need them. He created the heavens alone. He created hell by himself. Look, God didn't need an architect to design hell for him. He didn't need the firefighter to keep the flames down in hell. He didn't need that. He's not using anyone to keep the sea in its place, to keep the oceans in their place. He's not using anyone to keep the sun in its place. But God even defied gravity. Through Jesus, we seen man came here and walked on water. Look, he stands outside of all of the things we know as science. He defies logic. He's God all by himself. What does he need us for? Yet he still wants us. What a story. Melvin, read Luke 7 and 37 here.
And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment.
Now, what we're finding here is a woman. The Bible declares she was a sinner. She was a sinner. Now, God hates sin. He hates it. Don't let anyone fool you into thinking God is so fine with you sinning. He's not. What he wants is his people to truly repent. He'll forgive you if you're sincere. He will forgive you. So I thank God he forgives us, because if he didn't, none of us would ever have an opportunity to be saved. So this woman, she hears about the fact that Jesus was at this particular house. Read for us, Melvin.
And stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment.
This woman has an oil, and she's crying at Jesus's feet and wiping his feet with this oil and using her hair. She must not have had a towel. She's using her hair. Keep reading here, Melvin, because I want to bring something out. Let's keep reading down.
Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner.
The Pharisees, these were the religious people, they invited Jesus to their home. And now that he's there, this woman has shown up. And she has wiped Jesus' feet with this oil with her hair. And she's crying because somebody realized he don't need me. I'm not worthy. I'm nothing but a disobedient sinner. He doesn't need me for anything. And so the Pharisee says, if this man Jesus really were a prophet like he claims, he would know this woman is a sinner. She's a prostitute. She's a whoremonger. She's filthy. She shouldn't. If he knew what manner of woman this is, he would not even let her touch him, let alone put some oil on his feet. He wouldn't even let this woman touch him if he knew her past. You know, people still are the same way today. People want to hold you to the things you have did in the past, even though you're trying to be a better person now. You're no longer that same old person. Sure, we've made some mistakes, but now I'm moving past that. Now I'm trying to live for God. Look, don't let anybody hold you to the things that you did in the past. Repent now. You've got to repent. But don't allow people to hold you in that same place you used to be. So this woman now, she's washed Jesus' feet. And the Pharisees are questioning why he's even allowing her to get near him. Now, I've got another question. I don't know how she got in the house to begin with, but that's for a different day. That's for a different day. Read for us, Melvin.
And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on.
Mm-hmm.
There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most?
Now, Jesus, a master teacher, a master preacher, God manifest in the flesh. Look, he's God alone. He tells us this parable. He said there was a certain creditor. This person lended some money to two people. One of them borrowed $500, because we'll understand that. And $50 the other person borrowed. And he said, when they had nothing to pay, this creditor frankly forgave them both the debt. You know, this is where we sit tonight. You've got nothing to pay God. You cannot repay him for what he has did, for everything he's created just for you. How could you ever repay him? That's why I'm telling you tonight, he doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. You know, God has given us so much to look at in this world. We've got people now going to space. God has created so many other planets out there. It would take us 50 million lifetimes and still more to just discover half of what God has created for us in this world. We're still learning things. Look at all he's did. This is us. Jesus is talking about us. We owe him, and we cannot repay him because we don't have enough. We don't have enough simply because it all belongs to him. You cannot give some. Look, you can now. See, what's happening is God is putting some things in our possession. And by him doing that, we think it is ours. See, if God blesses you to get a house, if he blesses you to get two cars, that doesn't belong to you. All that's happening is God put it in your possession. It's still his. He can take it at any moment. You wonder why, look, the motor gave out. God said, that's it for your motor. It's his. I can't get mad at him and say, God, how could you let my motor go out today? This was my car, God. How could you let me crash my one car? God said, that car belonged to me to begin with. You've gotten it twisted. I've just put it in your possession. God, how could you take my wife from me? She was my... No, God said, I gave. The Bible said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look, God took some things from me, what, yesterday. And I had to remember... Look, it don't belong to me, no way. This stuff does not belong to me. It's not fun now. I'm not telling you I want God to take something. Look, I want God to give to me. I want him to give to you. But you've got to remember where you fall in this story that we're in this movie that we're in called life. You've got to remember where you line up. Your children belong to God. Your house belongs to God. Your apartment, it belongs to God. It doesn't belong to the people that own the apartment. Now, don't you show up and tell them you're not going to pay them rent because it belongs to God and you don't have to pay them rent. God said you don't have to pay. No, you've got to pay your rent. But I'm just trying to remind you and make sure you understand it all belongs to him. Every last thing we have, it belongs to him. So, Jesus, he said they owed this debt. This debt is owed to God. And you know what? The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. See, because we have sinned, we were owed eternal death. We are owed hell fire. But what has happened is God has sent Christ into the world to die for us so that our debt can be wiped clean. And we don't have enough to pay him. We don't have enough to pay him back for all that he's did and all that he will do. So now Jesus is using this scenario. And he says in verse 42, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Pick up the next part for us, Mel.
Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most.
The question was, which of them will love the one that gave them the credit most? Simon said, I think now it should be the one that he forgave the most. Look, if somebody gave you $500 versus the person that gave you $50, you ought to be thankful, especially for the one that gave you $500 now. If someone gave you $5,000 and another gave you $500, you ought to be especially grateful for the one. Look, you ought to be grateful for both. When you truly realize nobody owes us anything, God doesn't owe us anything. So keep reading for us, Melvin, as we wrap this up.
And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet.
Mm-hmm.
My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore I say unto thee, Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth little.
He says, this woman, see, I want to tell you, she has realized something, that God does not need her. Once we come to this realization that he's God alone, that we have broken his commandments, that we're not worthy of him even forgiving us, but yet he still does. Once you realize this, we ought to be running. We ought to dedicate our lives to him. We ought to. Now, many people are still not going to, but we ought to give our all, knowing what all he has forgiven us of. See, Jesus used something we can understand here. He used 550. We understand 500 is a lot more than 50. But you know, the Bible tells us when he begins to deal with the law, and he talks about how if we have broken one commandment, we're guilty of them all. See, I'll remind you before we get out of here tonight, what got us into this position where there is winter, there's summer, spring, there's all of these seasons, there are tornadoes. I believe we're about to enter into that type of season. There are hurricanes. There are all types of things that are going on in this world. And it was not so before one sin was committed. It took one sin. Adam and Eve committed one transgression, and all of these things entered into the world. Death entered into the world. One sin. So just one sin is worthy of death to God. So I know sometimes we look at it and say, well, this person, see, I'm not as bad as them. See, they're a murderer. They're a rapist. We try to look at how gruesome the sins a person commits, and we try to judge ourselves based off of that. We try to justify ourselves and make ourselves feel better because so-and-so over there, they're way worse than me. But to God, a sin is a sin. We're running around lying, telling lies for our job, telling lies to children, telling lies to everyone around. God is not okay with any sin. And so we're just as guilty as the person that we see, and they're strung out on drugs. They're strung out doing this and doing that. We're just as guilty as them. So when we can realize this, when we realize, look, God doesn't need any of us, it ought to make us want to serve him so much more, because he still is choosing us. If you would harden not your heart and open your mind and your heart to him, he said he'll come in and he'll have fellowship with you. He will embrace us. May God bless you guys. At this time, I do want to turn it back into the hands of Melvin. Just remember, he's God all by himself. He does not need you, but he still wants you. And that should mean so much to you. May God bless you. I appreciate you guys, as always.
Thank you, Minister Banks. A great message as always. And I'm exceedingly grateful that God still wants me and still chooses, for whatever reason, to wake me up every single day. Like Tony mentioned earlier, and I'm sure everyone has been in this position before, and some of us are still are in this position, that we continue to choose things over God. We continue to run away, but yet and still his arm is stretched out still for us. We do have a few more comments. Let's see. Let me go back to Let's see. Chelsea says, praise the Lord. Rosie says, praise the Lord. And also Cynthia says, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord to you three. David says, all the answers and everything we have need of is contained in the word of the Lord Jesus. And that is true. Jamel said it right that time, says everyone is replaceable. Yes, everyone and everything. Susie says he has blessed us with so many wonderful things. And that's true. David says, even without all the benefits of the Lord Jesus, I'm blessed just because of who he is. And I am one of his, bought with the precious blood of Jesus. I am not my own, but he is. Thank you, my Lord Jesus, for loving me. And David always says, it's not about who I am, but whose I am. It definitely matters. He also says, the Lord Jesus loves me so much that he gave his life for me, and I love him so much. I, with his help, live my life to please him. Not my will, but his be done, in Jesus' name. Casey says, all sin is sin in God's eyesight. And that's true. I saw a post earlier, and this person, they said, of one particular sin, everyone always likes to focus on that. They were talking about homosexuality, because I believe they are that. And they said, everyone wants to focus on that. And then they went on to list out a lot of other sins, like adultery, lying, and in that matter. And then people were in the comments of, that's right, we all sin. And I'm reminded of when I was growing up, and I would have done poorly on a test, and I failed it. And I used to use that excuse for my mom. I used to say, but mom, everybody failed that test. And do you think that helped? No, it didn't. And she said, I don't care, you're not everybody. And when, on the day of judgment, I'm not going to be able to bring up anybody else and be like, but that person was doing it, but that person was doing it. If we all sin, then we all go to hell, you know, if we don't repent. If we die in the state of our sin, we're all going down. So it doesn't matter. And even someone else was saying Joseph and Mary, because Mary had Jesus, then they were going around sinning too. And that just goes to show that we really don't have an understanding of this thing called life, and especially of God's word. Susie says, it is my lifestyle that is permanent. Now, Mike says, once again, you both have helped break down the scriptures so we can all better understand. Can't thank you enough, gentlemen. And we can't thank you enough for choosing to tune in, despite what your schedule is looking like. So we're glad that you are getting something out of the word. Larry Wanda says, enjoy it. And also, it's those small things we tend to miss. Yes, that's why the scripture says, be careful for nothing. The little things that we call nothing, those are the things that we especially need to be careful of, because that missing those little things, we can miss out on our ticket to salvation. So I pray that we all see or understand the importance of God and his word and being on his side. You know, we always pray, Lord, your will be done. But when it comes to that time to do his will, we're running away. So those are all of the comments, and that's all that I have to add. So I don't see any more. And if that be it, then I would like to remind you guys that we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy. And again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. So until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And once again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at JMSBible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.